Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, we've got quite a crew here today.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic show. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with the president and CEO of Beaumont Products, Mr. Hank Picken. And we're going to talk to Keelan Wheeler. He's the CEO and president of Max Media. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Miss Jennifer Sable with Intercontinental Hotels Group. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you having me here today.
So Intercontinental Hotels, that's quite a mouthful. What are you guys doing out there? You have a lot of brands, right? You're
it
all
is.
Over the place.
Yes, we have 9 brands. We have Intercontinental Hotels, and we have Crown Plaza, Holiday Inn, Holiday Inn Express, Staybridge Suites, Candlewood Suites, Hotel Indigo, it's mouthful.
Wow.
Hopefully I don't miss any. I actually have notes here, so I don't miss any. Even Hotels and Wallax Hotels, which are our 2 new brands that have launched last year, and they're opening up this year, so we're really excited about that. And so there's 4,700 of them worldwide, 688,000 room nights worldwide.
Wow.
So we're the largest hotel company worldwide.
So now, as a hotel company, do you own every single one of those hotels, or are those franchisees out there?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we franchise, lease, manage, and own them.
Wow. Yep. So now, what's your role in the company?
So I'm a business development manager. So I'm on the sales side. So I'm actually looking for companies to use all of our wonderful room nights and our meeting space. So meetings, conferences, trainings, and for example, IBM, if they want to, use our room nights when their employees travel, we want them to stay with us.
So that's part of your job, is to go out to companies, right, and say, hey, when you guys do a lot of traveling, I'm sure your research tells you they travel so many nights as a company, mm-hmm. and then you want them to your company to be the preferred hotel of choice?
Correct. That's what I go after. So currently what my position and role was created for about 3 years ago is really to go after companies that aren't using us. And so, for example, if Atlanta Business Radio did a lot of travel,
which we do,
I would be knocking at your door, cold calling you and asking you, okay, how many room nights do you think you do worldwide? Do you have any training classes or seminars? Do you have any meetings? And are you interested in Intercontinental Hotels Group? And here are all of our brands. And I usually name them all off to you like I just
like
did. Exactly. So that's pretty much what my role is. So I do about 10 to 15 cold calls a day.
Wow. So you're calling, and who do you call in the company?
It really just depends. My market is focused on the group market. So really anybody who does large conferences and meeting space, but uh-huh. I also have in the past focused on room nights. So anybody who travels worldwide and when they, have a 1 or 2 night stay, what we like to call road warriors.
Uh-huh. Now we do a lot of traveling now more than we used to just be in the studio interviewing businesses here locally. Now part of our business is doing trade shows and conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going out and about on behalf of clients all over the country.
Right.
To trade shows and conferences. And we didn't realize that there's as many meetings as there are. Like how many meetings take place in America?
In America, no. I don't know that statistic.
Tens of thousands of meetings every day.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like it's kind of, I was surprised at the number.
Yeah. I mean, just one company could have 700 meetings a year up to 1,000
wow.
meetings a year. So that's kind of the groups that I'm going after because I want their business to
right.
be at IHG and not with our competitors.
So now how do you differentiate yourself? Because there are a lot of competitors out there.
Well, I'm really persistent. And I actually was calling one client probably, I want to say, so I have a 3 strikes out rule.
Okay, this is a good sales. This is a sales tip here, right?
Yes, this is a sales tip here. And it can be a little, it can be a little depressing at times when you're cold calling. We all remember back in the day when someone used to just take out a phone book and call you.
Dialing for dollars.
Yep, that's right. During dinner, and you wouldn't answer, and you'd be upset. So that's kind of me during the day. So if you ever hear a call from Jennifer Sable, please answer. But, you know, I get a lot of voicemails. So I was calling a client over and over again.
And you're leaving voicemail.
Leaving voicemail.
So this is your strategy.
This is my strategy.
If it goes to voicemail, you leave a voicemail every time or just
every
the first time?
Every single time. And then I follow up with an email if I find their email address.
Uh-huh.
And because of the way of the internet and social media, you usually can find their internet if you're savvy with Google or LexisNexis.
Which I'm sure you're pretty good at by now,
I've gotten very good at it.
So you could be like a private eye.
Yes.
This doesn't work out for you.
Right? Yes. Finally, I never got a hold of this client ever. He was a director of procurement. So he has a lot on his plate, not just travel.
Right.
And he actually one day called me back, and I was like, oh my gosh. Usually you're like shocked when someone answers the phone.
Right.
And actually there are some good times. They tell you in training classes for cold calling and prospecting, they tell you, you know, call between 8 and 9 or, you know, 5 and 6, because usually CEOs or vice presidents are in their office
and
at that time.
And that's who you want to reach, because those are the hard to reach people, right?
And they're the decision makers.
Right.
And so I always try and call during those times of the day, because hopefully they're not in a meeting from 8 and 9 or 5 to 6. So he called me one day and I was shocked. And he was like, I just want to let you know you're so persistent and you're so happy every time you call me and you always know you're getting my voicemail. And that just kind of really brightened my attitude and got me – this happened, I want to say, almost 3 years ago since I've gotten this position with IHG. And it just kind of kept me going and just, you know, don't beat yourself up if you are cold calling and if you're in a role like I am. And he didn't have exactly the type of business I needed.
Right.
But he kind of then, number one, he got himself off my cold calling list. So he was kind of doing himself a favor.
Right.
And then he was doing me a favor too, because I knew, all right, they don't do as many meetings as I need him to do. And he's only in China. So maybe it'd be better if I, you know, introduced him to a director of sales at one of our properties
there.
In the Asian region.
Right.
Correct.
Because you're trying to solve their problem.
Exactly. So it was a good story, and it really just kind of made my attitude even better, and being persistent really just helps in this role. So
what's your backstory? How did you get into this line of work? Right out of school, or were you doing something else before?
Right out of school. I actually really wanted to be an interior decorator, and that didn't turn out too well. I couldn't draw a 3D dimensional box in school.
So they just kicked you right out of that program.
Pretty much. Took a great career course at Indiana University, and tourism management just kind of popped up. And ever since then, I started at the Hyatt Regency Atlanta downtown. And then a wonderful friend and mentor and colleague of mine hired me for Intercontinental Hotels Group.
And then, so you've always been in this role at Intercon?
No, I've kind of worked my way up within the company.
But you were doing always sales?
Always sales. I've always been in the sales role and department.
It sounds like IHG has a pretty rigorous sales training and development program. Is it you went through a formal training with them?
I don't know if it's a rigorous program, but we do have great mentors, and we do have great courses that you can take. But it's kind of up to the person to take those courses. And I created a training manual for the people that what we call sales associates, who support directors and managers. And when I got in that role, because when I got into the role, there wasn't really a training guideline, and you kind of were just thrown in, which sometimes...
And you're on your own?
Yeah, which sometimes I think is the best way to learn, but as the...
Well, it's a good weed out way to learn, right?
yeah, that too. But they do have great courses, and we've partnered with some great schools, and I truly think they're doing an excellent job of that.
But you developed your own kind of methodology?
Yeah, I did. I really did, because it's hard sometimes when you're in a big company and you don't really know kind of where to start.
Right.
And, you know, you're always trying to figure out, okay, how can I bring more ROI into the company and stand out? So that's kind of what I did.
Now, is that kind of documentation and follow-up an important part of your methodology?
Oh, yes. It's huge because you want to win the business. So the people who just stand on the side and don't follow up, they're not probably going to win the business or really stand out if they're just going to call once.
Like what's a rookie mistake?
I want to say a rookie mistake is just, let's say a client calls you and says, okay, there's an Intercontinental in Buckhead. I may be interested in that property. So you then help them get to the property and then that's it.
And then you're done.
You're done. That's a rookie mistake. I want to say then within 2 to 3 days, then call the client, you follow up, you know, you want to make sure that
they connected and that some business took place.
Exactly, exactly. And that they have all the information they need at the Intercontinental Buckhead. They were just renovated. They, you know, have done this and this and this to their ballrooms. Here's how beautiful it is. I've personally been to the property. It's one of my favorites. Tell them an experience you've had at the property. Send them your own pictures.
It's important for you to travel around the world to sample these properties, don't you think?
Yes.
I think Lee has
very important
job.
Are there any openings?
You know, go to ihgcareers.com and I'd be more than happy to help you out.
Now, if you're a company, like say you're a law firm and you have partners and you have law offices around the country, that's a good client for you, right?
Because
they'll do sales training, they'll maybe have partner retreats, and
Definitely. You
in your portfolio, you probably have different things that can help them.
Correct, because we range. So we start at Intercontinental, we start at the Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts, and then we go from Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express properties. So it really depends on what the client needs
and
what range they're looking for in property level. So
let's play out
fabulous. This
scenario. I'm a law firm, and I want to do a partner's retreat. And, you know, this is a reward maybe for a good year.
An incentive
program.
Because
that's something you do.
Yep.
What's our conversation look like?
So it's, where do you want to go?
Okay, I want to be by a beach.
Okay, great. So we have resort properties. Do you want a spa?
Because their spouses can come too, right?
Perfect. So you want a spa package?
She just doubled the sale. You just got you bringing spouses. Nice.
And you actually brought that on yourself. I didn't even mention that. I just mentioned the spa.
I just wonder, isn't this a typical conversation?
Yeah, then? Of course.
What role am I in the company? Am I the... I'm not a lawyer, right?
No, you're usually the meeting planner, or
so law
you're
firms
maybe,
have meeting planners,
or you're maybe an administrative assistant. Some law firms, depending on how big they are, don't have meeting planners. They probably have an administrative assistant of the CEO that's doing an incentive trip. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies are decentralized when it comes to their meetings, which we're trying to. So if you were to call me and you were an administrative assistant,
right? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before.
Right. So I would kind of mold you into what you wanted. See how I did that? I would say, okay, do you want all inclusive? Do you want a spa? And then I would kind of tell you what property I think would fit your needs best and all the lawyers that are earning this.
But also, I don't know how to do a meeting, right? Because I'm the administrative assistant.
Right, exactly.
So are you going to help me go, well, what's your agenda?
Right, like,
what
exactly. I would probably introduce you to the person at the property because that person's going to be more hands-on with you than I would because then they're going to really create that package for you on what their property can do. Because I represent 4,700
right, so you
hotels
can't
worldwide.
Know, you can't know
so
everything.
So I unfortunately don't know everything about every property that we lease, manage, franchise,
but you know
and
that
own.
These 20 are on a beach.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. So that's kind of where I would then...
So then you'd hand me off to the local person.
Mm-hmm. And I would help you in the process. So the three of us could have a conference call. I could then help you and help her or him kind of mold you into what you wanted and maybe put in some extra amenities in there, complimentary
because you
items.
As corporate, you have that kind of power and latitude.
Exactly.
So now, what if, like, I have to fill now a weekend or 3 days? Mm-hmm. Who helps me figure out what I, you know,
so
I know
she would probably
there's
going
to be meetings that my boss wants me to do.
Right. So
how do I fill?
Right. So
24 hours.
So the sales
days.
Manager on the property knows more locally about that. You know, let's say we're going to Aruba.
Right.
We have a great property in Aruba. That sales manager would be able to really fill those days for you because they know what's locally on the grounds. So if you wanted to go jet skiing or if you wanted to go, you know, if you wanted to do something with your team, that's more of a team building exercise, she would know or he would know what's there in Aruba. Whereas I probably don't know that.
Right.
I don't know those specifics.
And then so they would help me fill the time.
Correct.
Because that's part of their role too, right?
Correct. Yes, definitely.
Because if I don't know what's in Aruba, I don't know that that a must have is I got to hire that guy that's got this great band that I should
exactly,
bring in.
Exactly. And most hotels have what we call fact sheets. Mm-hmm. So if you were interested in the top 20 hotels that we have and all these areas that you and I discussed without then putting in a middleman, right?
Right.
I would get those fact sheets, and they would tell you what there is locally on the grounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if there – do you ever say, you know what? There's a great speaker. Bob Smith is the guru of lawyer partner meetings. You should hire him. Is that – does that – do you ever help in that manner, or that's the law firm kind of asking for that?
I can. No one's ever actually asked me that question because a lot of times, a lot of companies nowadays work with third-party meeting planners to – and they pay them – to
okay, so they're like the that meeting planner is kind of the point guard, the
correct.
Concierge of the event.
Correct.
And then they're working with you and your local meeting
correct.
Person.
Correct.
So what about next year? You've done a great job for him. Next year, his one point of contact is you, and he reaches out to you again, or you're following up with him periodically, or how does that piece
so
work?
So I typically, I've created a monthly newsletter that I send out to all my clients.
This is just you on your
this
own?
This is just me on my own.
Man, you are a self-starter.
So I send, everybody that I've ever worked with hears from me on actually on a bi-monthly basis. So any hotel within IHG that sends me a promotion, I send it to all my clients once a month. Mm-hmm. And then I also spotlight a hotel in a monthly newsletter.
Maybe one that you just visited the previous
correct,
month?
Correct, correct.
Get some photos.
Right, or if it's a hotel that right, I've been to or I've just had a conversation with and I know they have maybe some need dates
right.
or they're going to do a promotion or they really want to work with some group clients. I put them in a spotlight section of my newsletter. And then I also always have a section that just talks about Intercontinental Hotels Group in general and what's mm-hmm. going on with us as a company. And then I always kind of have a fun blurb about me, what's going on with my life. So my clients get a little bit learn more about me.
Because relationships are important, and you yep. want to have that kind of bond with them, mm-hmm. right? So they know to trust you in these kind of situations.
Right, right. And I feel like because this, I know I'm a millennial, right? But I feel that because we are all about social media these days, I think relationships still are really important. And that's why I do leave a lot of voicemails and I'm not just emailing. I still want to have that relationship with a client where they are learning who I am and where they are hearing my voice or meeting me face to face, which is why I still do a lot of travel.
Well, I can tell you right now, just as a product of this conversation, I'm not really going to quibble over whether we're paying $180 a night or $220 a night if what I've got is a great relationship with Jennifer over at IHJ. I can call her. I know she's going to stay
connected.
Can you
tell all my clients that? Because we're trying to raise average daily rate over here.
Well, I got to tell you, I entered into this conversation really my lens for booking hotel rooms, even with groups, was a much more transactional.
Mm-hmm.
I had a much more transactional perspective on it, and you've really shifted that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So I got to ask you, future plans for your career. Do you aspire to management? Because in some ways, I think it could be a terrible waste. I don't know that I would want you to leave what you're doing and waste your life on managing people.
Well, I do love sales. That's a passion of mine that I'll never leave. But I would love to... I want to stay in sales. I don't really know how to answer that question, but I am passionate about Intercontinental Hotels Group. I love my company. They treat employees fantastically. I really can't say enough great things about them. And I love my manager. I just love everybody I work with. It's really home away from home for me. It's the family I couldn't ask for, you know. And I don't really know what's next for me. We'll see. I want to keep growing in my career for sure.
And you were just awarded something, right?
Yes, I was. I was awarded 40 under 40 in the hospitality industry, and I'm actually going June 12th to get my award.
All right.
You're catching me at a good time.
Congratulations. Is that the Collaborate group?
Yep, Collaborate, the Collins and Media Brothers. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a trade show within the award. So I'll be working, and then the last day I get my award.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate
now,
it.
Now, the sweet spot for you, though, are large corporations that do a lot of traveling.
Yes.
And or do a lot of meetings.
Correct.
And if they were interested in learning more, where should they go?
Just email me at jennifer.sable@ihg.com.
And ihg.com will give them kind of an overview of all your properties and everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's ichotelsgroup.com.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio this morning. Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our other guests?
That sounds great. I can't wait. Thanks again so much.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us the CEO and president, the Grand Poobah Lee of Max Media, Mr. Keelan Wheeler. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. What did you learn in that last segment?
Wow, she's
she can do sales training.
You want to hire her, don't you?
No, I do. In fact, I almost spoke about what her next job is. But you know, how do you follow that, right? And she's got a face for television, so everybody pick up the phone when she calls.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
So now, Max Media, what are you guys doing?
Well, in the sense of terms, a digital agency is what we've evolved to. But we continue to evolve and more. Look at consumer solutions, and mm-hmm. that's really what we focus on. But we deliver it through a digital.
Can you share an example of that?
Mobile apps.
So you do
websites. We do analytics. We do customer engagements. Evolve and measure. Mm-hmm.
But so it's for B2C.
B2B, B2C, mostly focusing on the Fortune 500.
And then so they're going to have a need. Maybe they don't have an app. Maybe they should have an app. And
well,
then they
when
reach
you start,
out to you.
When you start, you know, doing work with the Fortune 500, they already have everything in place. And so right. they're always trying to look at, because in the digital world, everything's moving. The hardware's moving. The solutions are moving. Your consumers are moving, which is good business, right? Because you're always trying to focus on what's next for them. And since we are leading the digital strategy for a lot of our clients, we have to be one step ahead of everybody. So
I'm trying to understand. So they are already doing something.
They might be
doing it internally, or they are already hiring agencies typically to do this?
Well, that's a good question. For an example, one of our clients is telecommunications. And they come out with new products, new campaigns, new seasons. Whether it's summer or back to school or something
right.
like that. So from a digital standpoint of view, we have to come up with ideas of how do we put their products and their services in front of the consumers.
And then what's their way of kind of – how do they determine ROI to something like this?
Well, that's the positive thing about digital. When you look at the old traditional strategies, they just put it out there, and you've heard that old saying,
right.
50%.
Yeah,
exactly.
We just don't know
exactly.
what 50%.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Everybody's heard that. Well, when it comes to digital, you are able to gauge the interaction of the consumer. You know, are they dropping off after going two clicks? And if so, why is that happening? And the neat thing about it is we can go in and change it on the fly within 24 hours mm-hmm. and change that one slide.
So almost in real time.
It is excellent.
You can make adjustments mm-hmm. and tweaks.
Yeah.
Now, but this is something that's always puzzled me. How do you kind of account for clicks to I bought whatever you wanted me to buy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there some... After 14 clicks, then I buy, or
well,
is it one good click?
You try and get it the least amount of clicks. I mean,
that's in your mind. That's what you're shooting for. It's like name that tune.
It is
right. You want to name it in one note.
Well, it is exactly. I mean, if you think about it, our society right now is ADD, right?
Right.
I mean, and our younger generation is even worse.
ADDD.
Exactly. ADD plus. And so you want to be able to capture their imagination. They do homework. And so they like to compare, and then they go off on social media, and they look at what everybody else is talking about a certain product, and then they got to come back, and they may even visit a store, and then they'll come back and buy it online. So you want to give them as much information as you possibly can up front and let them make their decision.
But is there a correlation between, like, you see a lot of these firms are like, oh, that went viral. It got 4 million mm-hmm. downloads. Like, If that happens for you, are you high-fiving?
Absolutely.
Holy grail in your business?
It certainly is. It's something that you don't really plan on because it's, you know, it's...
But I'm sure all the clients say, we want one of those.
Of course. Of course. as we all do. You know, we're hoping that this show goes viral right. as well, right?
Well, we're counting on you.
Absolutely.
That's why you're here. That's on you, man. That's why we invited you.
That's why I'm here as well. So you try and strive for that, of course. And, mm-hmm. and it's content, it's timing, it's what the subject is, you know.
And stars have to be aligned.
Absolutely. It's like Beats earphones got right. bought out for $3 billion. Well, that's incredible, right?
That is incredible.
That is incredible. So that will go viral. And, of course, when he came out with that product, the reason why I bring that out is because of Dr. Dre's association.
Are they a client?
No, unfortunately, they're not. But
yet.
That's a good example.
Yet.
Yes.
So
they got the budget dollars for sure.
Who in the company is the buyer for you? Who are you typically calling on and having those initial conversations with?
It could be both. It could be on a retail side, could be the CMO. Mm-hmm. On the IT side, we also do the back end programming. So not only okay. do we come up with a strategy of a campaign, but we also design it and execute it. And sometimes that also incorporates back end programming. And so we like to have a whole turnkey solution so we can control the quality.
Now, is there a pain point that the customer or the prospective customer is having where they go, we got to call these guys? Like, is it their last campaign failed, or is it that a new CMO was hired and we got to shake things up?
It could be lackluster. It could be boring. It could be that they're not getting any attention. It could be that people aren't finding their website, or they're landing on the homepage and it's not keeping them there. If the content is not causing the consumer to purchase the product and they see the sales going down, those are all reasons to come to
Next Medium. So sales going down, that's a call, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Sales or lack of awareness, absolutely. Because we also do, on the retail side, we do 2D, 3D animations for telecommunications company in the retail space. And so we have to not only create the content, design it, but also build it. And like I said, it's very difficult in today's society to be able to capture the consumer and keep their attention.
Now, walk us through like an engagement. You have, say, IHG.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they have a million brands, right? They're higher end, mm-hmm. but also not only high end. So they have a variety of price mm-hmm. points that people engage with them. So I would guess you would have a different campaign, right? It's different for Holiday Inn than it is for IHG.
Absolutely, and I certainly don't know Jennifer's business like she does, but I would think that they are different. Demographics for the different customers, and you know, in her instance, you'd want to make them be able to feel and smell and be as close to the resort or the spa as they possibly can, because if they could visit it, then they would probably close the deal a lot quicker. So you try and drive the experience to the consumer.
Uh-huh. So through those different screens.
They're all screens.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it has to be consistent, but it has to be unique experience for that. Because I have this device here is different than this device.
Yep.
And then a desktop is different than a laptop. So everything's got to kind of be appropriate for that screen.
Absolutely. You know, it's built. HTML5 is a platform that you can build at once, and it'll approach all screens. And it'll size for all different screens.
Mm-hmm.
The message has to be consistent no matter what screen
right.
it's on.
And so that's always a rookie mistake in that business.
Well, it, certainly. Yeah, you got to really come up with a good campaign and drive that point over and over again.
Now, how do you get to have that first conversation? Do you have a team of folks, a team of Jennifers out there hammering the phones or knocking on doors? Or is a lot of it inbound? Or how do you get those initial relationships going?
Max Media has been around for 18 years, so we have done both new business, existing business. We try and always.
So you were doing campaigns on like Motorola Razors.
We started. That's true, actually. Before that, and I started Max Media because I also was in sales for a production company, Crawford Communications, years ago. And when they distributed VHS tapes to promote a new product for Coke, wow. I thought there got to be a better way. to distribute the message. And so that's when I left and started Max Media, because I felt like the internet was going to be the best way to distribute the message.
Good call.
Well, it took 18 years to get here, but yes.
So some people were like, you're crazy. That internet thing's never going to catch on.
Well, especially when my vision was so much farther than the technology at that time.
Why do we need the internet? We have VHS tapes.
So it's mostly inbound now and existing relationships, or how are you crafting the new ones?
It's both. It's both. We stay quite busy in the Fortune 50, and you know, like I said, those companies don't come and go, and they're fairly loyal as well. So you really work hard to get in there and just do small projects and then move up. We also come up with our own products, ideas that we get out there based on some of the experiences that we have and the things that we build for them.
Because you're learning best practices across the board. So what's something new you guys are working on in your lab?
Social analytics, being able to monitor that is something that we had done for AT&T. That was a great experience for us to learn that industry, but also how do you depict that visually? Mm-hmm. And so when we were able to do that across multiple platforms, as you mentioned earlier, and that was so much fun. So we continue, since that is such a hot space, is continue to try and refine that communication and do a partnership with a company called Dakota that we feel like is one of the best social filtering data companies around. And so we partner with those guys.
Right, because you said earlier that you got to be a little bit ahead of your client, mm-hmm. right?
We have
that's
to.
What they're
Absolutely.
Leaning on you for, is that expertise and that kind of vision to see mm-hmm. a little bit farther ahead in the road. Now, how important is content in all of this?
It's imperative, absolutely imperative. I mean, you have to know, as I mentioned earlier and alluded to, that you know a lot of your agencies still focus on the brand.
Right.
And sometimes, most of the time, they start losing touch with their with the consumer. Mm-hmm. We choose to focus on the consumer and the demographic and really focus on what they want. And once you do that, then you can lead the brand to them.
Is that a hard conversation with the client?
Sometimes.
Because they may not get that, right?
No, you're right, absolutely. And that's probably the biggest challenge, is how do you get them to start drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit on understanding that, hey, you know, you could take the brand and it's a great campaign, and you completely miss the demographic. You completely miss the
right,
consumer.
But it was hilarious. Oh, my boss is still laughing about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the 20-year-old doesn't, not so much.
No, no, not so much. But it is. I mean, and that does happen a lot of times. And you've got somebody, hey, young fellow, we've been doing this for 20 years and I haven't made a mistake yet. Well, you're about to, you know. So it is kind of a delicate conversation.
Now, in today's world, like you mentioned, all the screens, lots of people are on it all the time. You have to be nimble. You know, you have to be able to be, if something happens right now, mm-hmm. like I think in the Super Bowl, the Oreo mm-hmm. thing, they jumped on it right when the lights went off. Not many big companies are able to pull off or have the guts trust their agency enough to pull something like that off.
You're absolutely right. But doing it on the fly and being prepared and plan B always. One of the challenges I think that the Fortune 500 have, which I think is absolutely amazing, is if you think about it with today's social media and the Twitter, I mean, one person could literally bring a Fortune 50 company to its knees,
right?
Which I mm-hmm. think is absolutely incredible. So we're holding them much more accountable
That's
now.
That's incredible for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good job security for you.
Absolutely it is. And so working on the plan Bs and trying to anticipate what the public and the consumer, there again, I keep hammering that home,
right.
is the consumer is really important. But that's pretty cool to be able to do that.
Now, how do you help the customer create that content factory they need to fill up all these Pinterest and Twitter feeds that they got going for all their different brands?
Well, we have digital strategists that really kind of focus on learning the consumer, and sometimes we're educating our client about their consumer, what they're interested in, and then try and combine what product or service that they're providing, and how do you combine that message. And content is king. I mean, it absolutely is.
But how do you create that much content for when you have, like, how many brands do you have?
Nine
brands. And then it's different age groups. There's got to be a Pinterest, mm-hmm. Twitter, mm-hmm. Facebook. There's got to be a strategy for each of one of those. And then they got, you need content. It can't be like, we're the best, you know, like look at the sunset. Like, you know, you got to fill up 24/7.
No, you do. And IHG's, you know, not that I'm an expert at all, but just looking at what they do. I mean, it's service, it's customer service, as Jennifer alluded to earlier. It's the experience. It's the follow up. I mean, those are consistent across all nine brands that they would be focused on. Then you got to have the shiny objects, right? You know, by the ocean, the rooms. What sets them apart from
everybody
else?
But are you leveraging the users, like the consumers? Are you somehow able to take their experiences and amplify that through your channels? I mean, how do you handle all of this? I mean, you need so much content. I'm just having
We become content experts. I mean, we become experts in the hotel resort business and the booking. I mean, we have to be experts in that to be able to advise our
But is
our
somebody
clients.
Creating the content?
Yeah, we do that in-house.
Oh, so that's one of your services you provide to your clients is create content, or at least a machine that creates content.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, your team must be really good storytellers or really good at helping, like, IHG people be good storytellers, because I think that's one of the keys, maybe, and especially when you've got something that broad and that deep, is to take all those features and benefits and cool, sexy things and tell stories about them. Is that
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, storytelling's been around forever, right? It's but it's just how it's been distributed. You know, how do you do that? To your point earlier, you know, you do have to fill different Pinterest and Twitters and stuff like that, but it's all learning the demographic. I hate to keep circling back around to that, but it's like, who are the Twitter followers and how do you communicate to them?
Right.
Because if you communicate to them differently than you do a television spot or something like that, you're going to miss them.
Right.
So you do have to educate who the consumer is, who the demographic is, and what content and storytelling has to go to each individual.
And that's the value you add to your clients.
Correct.
Is because you're experts on that, and you can match up the right channel with the right brand.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always looking ahead. Is there anything ahead that we should know about, or is there?
Well, I mean, I would keep your eye certainly on. I mean, the social media is just kind of running the world right now. I mean, it's just what's trending. For an example, if we were monitoring something for one of our clients, and this is a true story, the product leaked out on a Friday, and they had paid all this media to hit Monday, and they saw it was already exactly, and it was already trending early.
So they
cut it off, and they moved it as quickly as they possibly could.
So then they had to go to Friday.
Correct.
They couldn't tell the internet to wait.
There's many companies that would love to.
Not a pause button.
Boy, if you found that one. That would be something, but no, absolutely. It's going to go with or without you.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to talk about me for a little bit. Well,
please, actually, by all means.
Actually, what
I'm here for you.
Well, as a leader to leader, because you're the CEO of this Max Media. I'm an equity partner here at Business Radio X. We all had an opportunity to participate in a conversation with a young lady that I think we would all like to have on our team. So here's my overarching question. How do you identify, recruit, select, and develop really top caliber talent like that? Do you have any insight on that? You've been at it
a while.
I
have, and you're constantly looking for good talent. I mean, that really is what makes Max Media good and what makes any company good. IHG is good is better by having Jennifer on board, and you're constantly looking for good talent that could make a difference. You want to offer an opportunity for them to be able to grow. You want to be able to share a vision of something that you've always wanted to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. And the best thing that our clients do for us is to be able to give us an opportunity to create that they're not directing us. So for me to bring in Jennifer or a great programmer or a great strategist, it's blue sky, right? It's not just, hey, you're going to have to put this widget in this box for the next 3 years. You're not going to get good talent that way. If you can give them an opportunity to be creative and to create something that they have in their mind and surround them with very smart people in a team environment, it's so much fun to do that.
Well, it seems like you've done a pretty good job of creating a culture that really nurtures that. I mean, you've been at it for 18 years. You guys are successful. In terms of establishing and continuing to nurture a culture, it's got to be cared and fed for, fed, right?
You know, absolutely. And you hate to lose anybody. And yeah. My wife always says, you can't take it personal, you know, but I do, you know. But you really, I mean, everybody, it's almost like when you interview somebody, when I interview somebody, I said, well, this is what Max Media can do for you. Now, what? I mean, this is what you can do for Max Media, your resume. Now, what can we do for you? How can we keep your interest? How can we help you grow? And that's a great conversation because we do interview pretty hard and pretty long to make sure we get the right people in the right spots. Then we also make sure that they fit in with the team there and help the team. It's hard. I mean, we've been all over the place. We've had the creative director with the ego and all that kind of stuff, and it was his vision. And quite good. we've grown about 60% since he was relieved of command. So
since you freed up his future,
I did absolutely, and really, instituted a more team environment, and it's been absolutely wonderful. The collaborativeness has been great. The creativity is I mean, it's just you can feel electricity when you walk in the office, and that's a great feeling.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, do you have an Instagram page?
Yes. It's probably better to go to just maxmedia.com. I mean, that pretty much tells
that'll all. Tell you where.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, for allowing me to visit with you guys and learn about everything.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, a great deal of insight. We got to have you back sometime, maybe.
Hey, yeah. I'll come back anytime.
Maybe come back with a client, see how you guys work together.
That would be great. That would be fantastic. I'd appreciate that. That would be interesting, actually.
Hey, hang out with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with. All right, Lee, we got the headliner, the guy we've been waiting for very patiently. This
pressure's
gentleman.
On.
He's been taking notes, nodding his head. So it is now time to present to you for the broadcast here on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, President and CEO with Beaumont Products. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Hank Picken. How you doing, man?
Terrific. It's going to be a couple of tough acts to follow.
Pressure's on, buddy.
We'll do the best we can.
So Beaumont Products, what are you guys doing for folks?
We manufacture a bunch of consumer products right here in Kennesaw.
So and you're a manufacturer?
We are. We're a manufacturer and marketer. And have a plant in Kennesaw, about 100,000 square feet and 100 employees, and manufacture a whole bunch of products that are in the natural products arena. Branded items that you would know as Citrus Magic, Veggie Wash, Clearly Natural Hand Soap, Farmer's Market Hand Soap.
So the natural, kind of eco-friendly, that kind of product?
Correct. To the best of our ability, we make all of our products natural ingredients. Some of them are organic certified. The Farmer's Market is an organic certified bar, certified to USDA standards.
How'd you get into this?
Started back in 1991 when we bought a couple of brand names from an entrepreneur down in Peachtree City and evolved into...
Were you always manufacturing?
When we bought the company, they were simply brands. They were a virtual company with co-packers and commission sales reps. Uh-huh. And we moved that a year later into in-house manufacturing. And then over that almost 25-year history, we have done a tremendous number of line extensions around the base brands and have also acquired seven other companies or seven other businesses.
I've always been fascinated by people who can successfully, over time, sell tangible goods. I kind of grew up in the consulting arena, and a great deal of what we do here is intangible. It's service oriented. I've always felt like it would be a real challenge for me personally if I sold something that you could touch, taste, and feel. Can you speak to some of those challenges, or are you on the other side of the fence and you're really at home there and you might find it more of a challenge to sell something intangible?
I think I've always felt it at home selling the tangible stuff. I still to this day get my jollies walking through a supermarket and see one of my products sitting on the shelf.
You can
go into Publix locally and find Citrus Magic, get 5 SKUs in the air freshener aisle and 4 SKUs over there in the soap aisle. So that still gives me a chill when I see that stuff. And hey, I did that. I put that there. It's a great feeling of accomplishment.
So what is that like, though, when you're first trying to sell that in, and there's some other product that at least to date has been presented to that buyer as competitive? Maybe it's less expensive. Maybe what is that conversation like? Here's where I'm coming from is I've always had the luxury of being able to position what I do as not something you can go across the street and get. So I'm interested in how those conversations go with tangible items.
Right. Well, it's a slow burn. There's no question it's a slow mm-hmm. burn. And we started out with your basic peddling sales type who would pull into the center square of a little town and call on every retailer. It didn't make any difference whether they were a food store or a drugstore or hardware store, sold the product in. Citrus Magic, 100% natural air freshener, just sells anywhere where there is traffic. It's got a broad use and a broad base of consumer interest. And then from there, it's a matter of converting that ma and pa kind of experience into the major retailers. And I think Jennifer said it's kind of a three-strike law. We're fortunate if we make it on the fifth, but it's constantly presenting our products to the trade. And at the end of the day, what supports it all is terrific quality products that are well positioned. And I think as everybody in the room knows, timing is everything, and we happen to hit the natural trend and the organic trend at exactly the right time. In the early 90s, that was the beginning of the growth of Whole Foods and companies like that that positioned themselves as natural products grocery stores. So the timing of that was outstanding, and the reliance on the products as being the quality products that they are make it work. Over the years, when we were able to gain distribution slowly but surely in traditional retailers, the velocity of the product, the consumer takeaway, and the consumer trying and buying and conversion to being users over time has just sustained the brand. We very, very seldom lose distribution once we get it.
And then your objective once you're in there is to just add SKUs?
Correct. Correct. It's step one is to get that first SKU in the door, and once you become a vendor,
then they trust you, right? Like they're testing to see what the sell through is.
Testing to see what the sell through is, and what our ability is to service the account. As mentioned, we manufacture everything, and that gives us a leg up on a lot of our competitors. Where they've got
to ship it in overseas or something.
They got to wait for that classic slow boat from China, and we don't. If we get a big order, we can crank up the plant, run 24/7, which we have on occasion to meet a demand for a particular promotion or a particular account.
Now, when you, I guess you're in all the large retailers right now, right? You're working towards that?
Yeah. Yes, fortunately. We have distribution in what you would know as the major retailers. We're in Walmart and Target, and as mentioned, Publix here locally and across the country in Kroger and Safeway.
So now you get in there with one SKU. You prove that, look, people buy this. Now, when you're – this is always fascinating to me. You're a product on a shelf, and that's just sitting there. So now you got to rely on your packaging. I mean, people, how do they even know to choose you?
Well, we do not only the packaging and packaging design, but we do national advertising. We have been on TV. We have been on network syndicated radio on a number of occasions. And
so you tell that to the retailer. You go, hey, Whole Foods, you better put my stuff there. We're going to support it with national advertising. You're going to use the Max Media now because they're the experts in digital, right?
Well, it's going to be poolside at every IHG.
We're working every angle for you.
Yeah, we have to figure out how to have that meeting in Aruba.
I'm ready.
Interesting you should say that because most of our sales, and I would guess without looking in deep dive into the numbers, is probably over 95% is traditional retail off the shelf two-step or three-step distribution to consumers, where a small portion of our business is exactly that. We call it Beaumont Direct, where consumers can indeed visit our website and order offline. But that is not our primary goal in life. Our primary goal in life is to educate consumers to know about our products, try them, and our trial-to-conversion rate is phenomenal.
So once they try it, then they're hooked.
They're sold.
And then once they've tried one, then they're when they see in another aisle a different one, they're like, oh, I already trust them over here, so I'll go for this other product.
For sure. And to the best of our ability, we do that cross-merchandising as we will.
So maybe on the packaging of the air freshener is sending them to the soap or something?
And in fact, if you buy a solid air freshener, you get a free sample of the spray.
There might be, right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably a coincidence. So.
Well, I have to believe if I'm the Safeway guy and you came to me 2 years ago with a citrus magic and I've had all these great results, if you come to me next week with the, you know, the Lee Cantor bug spray, you've got credibility with me, so I'm going to give you a shot, right? I'm going to give you a little space, probably.
The fact that we have a vendor number at Safeway makes that next call
huge.
A lot easier.
I'll bet it does.
The problems you run into, obviously, with these major retailers is they have different departments. The same person who buys air freshener doesn't buy Lee's bug spray.
And they don't talk? They don't talk to each other?
No, they don't. They don't. Should, and it may not even be in the same floor in the same building.
May not be in the same state, right?
That's true, too.
Or it might even be a case, we ran into this with consulting back in the day. If that's what Bill's doing, then I'm going to do anything but that. I don't know if that happens to you or not.
Not so much anymore.
Now, you're clearly an entrepreneur and surely not only interested in additional products that you might help folks get to market, but do you have an interest in additional businesses as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can well imagine in the size of our business and the sector that we're in and the success of our brands, we're a fairly ripe target for acquisition. And I get probably on a weekly basis some overture from an investor and or a major corporation wanting to acquire Beaumont products. And what we do is we send them what I affectionately refer to as the boomerang letter, which is, no, Beaumont is not for sale, but we are very interested in continuing to grow our business. And acquisition is one of those routes. If you happen to know anybody that fits the following profile, and
Looking to acquire
other
SKUs.
We have acquired over the years seven other businesses, not direct acquisition, but basically buying assets.
Uh-huh. And then they're all in this natural product lines?
Yes. Yes. We've done some strategic buying of one brand line to get us distribution into the hardware channel, which is not all natural, but some of it is natural products.
This is very inspiring to me because some folks are starting to poke around Business Radio X a little bit. The next one that pokes around, instead of you and I high-fiving in the parking lot and deciding how we're going to conduct ourselves in the call, let's send them a boomerang.
I want a boomerang.
We
have a copy. Can I get a copy of that
boomerang?
I want
to say
now?
No, but maybe we'll buy you. That would just be fun to say.
Well, it's not. Maybe we'll buy you. It's more than you've got your ear to the ground, and you're seeing more deals than I'm seeing. Sharing those and
has anybody boomeranged back and said,
"Oh,
hey.
Absolutely." I think all probably five out of those seven have been a result of a boomerang letter. Some business broker will see that and say, "Let me look at my inventory and present something," and then the striptease starts and.
So now when you're going to market and you're going to the retailers, how do you keep them informed of all the stuff that's going on so they can sample your stuff? Are you traveling around to all the buyers everywhere, or are you involved in trade shows? How do you let people know what you're up to?
Do all too many trade shows, but for sure we do that. And I think I mentioned earlier that we are all commission sales folks. And part of my task, and probably the most difficult task I have, is motivating somebody else's sales force. Because I've got to figure out how to get that person out there to pull my product out of the bag first before they pull somebody else's product out of the bag. So
what have you learned there that you can help us with?
I think the key to that is the old squeaking wheel is continue to squeak and squeak. And I, as I said, I do a lot of the trade shows, and the principal reason I do the trade shows is an opportunity to look face to face and
talk
to the sales guys. Yeah.
And then these trade shows, are they to direct to consumer kind of natural product sales, like kind of those health expos?
No, the majority of them are to the trade. For example, next week I'll be in Chicago at the FMI, which is the big grocery show, the Food Marketing Institute.
Right.
And those will be the major retailers that will be there. A couple of weeks ago, we were up in Connecticut at a Unify show, and that's a major natural products distributor. But again, you'll see customers, which in my case are retailers, mm-hmm. and also the sales guys that work for our sales rep firms.
So now those salespeople have to go into those individual stores and convince them to put your stuff on the shelf?
Well, it's horses for courses. Different accounts operate in different ways. A Publix account, for example, will planogram the entire chain. If you make
Get that guy. That's correct. The holy grail,
You get the headquarters account, push, pull, click, click, it's on every shelf. Same with Walmart, same with Target, those kinds of things. The opposite of that is somebody like an Ace Hardware store or Whole Foods, where a lot of the authority to put product on the shelf is delegated down to a regional basis in some cases, and then to a store basis in some cases, and then in Whole Foods case, even to a team leader, that the person who's actually stocking the shelves in the body care aisle will make a decision as to what bar is.
So then your salesperson in Wichita, Kansas, got to know the Whole Foods person if they want to get that on
correct.
The shelf.
Correct. And it comes down to the infantry working in store by store.
Wow.
So what's the best way for our listeners to learn more, particularly those that may be interested in investing or
he wants to be acquiring company. He's got a good natural product. He wants to know about it.
The best thing to do is to contact citrusmagic.com, which would be the website for all of our product listing. And there are ways in that website to get to me. As I said, we're right here in Kennesaw, and you can look us up. It's easy to get a hold of us. So.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Well, we appreciate being invited and enjoyed meeting you all.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and all of the Business Radio X family. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.